Welcome to QualityCast North, a podcast dedicated to showcasing healthcare quality improvement across northern British Columbia. Casting today from the traditional territories of the Kleklaytané and Tsintiaan First Nations are your hosts. I'm Cher Chewy.
And I'm Lee Cameron.
You're listening to QualityCast North. Now, as a podcast dedicated to healthcare quality improvement, regular listeners will have heard about the many physician-led improvement projects we've showcased and the positive impact they've had on patients. But there's another side to quality improvement, and that's the impact it has on the physicians themselves. While learning the QI skills and leading the projects and generating these patient impacts, how are the physicians changed in the process? To answer this question from her own experience is today's guest, Dr. Daisy Dulay, a cardiologist based on Vancouver Island and the Provincial Physician Lead for Spreading Quality Improvement, a sister initiative of PQI. Hello, Daisy. So glad you could join us today.
Hi, Cher, and hi, Lee. Thanks for having me.
So before we start, I wonder if you can tell us a little bit of background about yourself, perhaps where you were raised and your journey into medicine and towards your chosen specialist career in cardiology looked like. And for example, why cardiology?
So I'm a second generation South Asian settler, currently living on the ancestral lands of the Esquimalt and Songhees First Nations, which is also colonially known as Victoria. Although I wasn't raised in Victoria, this is where I call home with my husband and two daughters. I grew up in Ontario in a multi-generational home. In my background, cultural background, helping others is really an important value, and we call that seva. For me, that extended into looking into a career that would help me continue that path, and that led to medicine. And with regards to cardiology, it wasn't a straightforward path. I was interested in internal medicine originally, and then partly into my first year of residency, actually was planning to switch into family medicine, but that didn't happen and it wasn't an option at that time. So I continued on with my internal medicine training and thought about endocrinology. The fast-paced nature of cardiology was initially what drew me in, but also I really enjoyed the opportunity to provide longitudinal care to patients as well.
Now, that's an interesting path there, and you've exemplified a common thing, which is that residents, medical students, often change their mind multiple times during their training. And what they go into medicine thinking that they will eventually become off turns out to be not the chosen career that they initially thought. And that's surprisingly common. So that's you've exemplified that in your story there. Now, cardiologists as a group, they do actually attract a somewhat elevated level of respect and a little bit of a halo of reverence from the public, but also from other physicians, I would say. Something perhaps related to maybe perhaps the cultural significance society places on the heart, or maybe it's the intensely competitive career path. But after starting your practice in cardiology, did the reality meet your expectations, and in what way?
That's an interesting question. I'd like to probably start off with acknowledging that the reverence that you're describing, I would extend that to physicians, but that respect has been challenged in recent years. The fact that there's growing mistrust towards conventional medicine, and now also the rising trend of misinformation, that's been a challenge. So I think it's a challenge navigating that, and that reverence that you describe has changed. I think that's one of the things I remember as a child. I just really looked up to my family doctor, and that he was one of the individuals that I looked up to and felt like I wanted to be like him. So I'm not sure how children of today feel about that. With regards to the expectations when I started my cardiology practice, that's different. I guess, one of the things that I learned really quickly was the realities of being a community-based specialist and things like not having a lot of training on business acumen or being able to be, dealing with HR issues in an office. So these were things that would have been helpful to have learned about during training. And then you add on things like having children. So I didn't have children until after I was finished my training. And then that was another piece of learning how to balance that. And then lastly, the sheer volume of administrative work that we got shielded from, I would say, during our training. And then once you're in practice, it's a lot more to deal with. And again, that created a bit of a challenge in trying to find joy each day when you're in practice. And so, and at the same time, trying to give the best care you can. And for me, I practice slow medicine, so I like to take time with my patients to get to know them, to understand where they're coming from, and building that relationship and trust. But at the same time, with a fee-for-service model, it doesn't allow you to do that in a way that makes sense.
Thank you for that. And you're absolutely right. There are many, many things that medical school does not provide you training for in the real world. And it can be quite a shock, I think, to young doctors coming into practice from that piece. And I love that term, slow medicine. I think that's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah. It came from like the slow food movement where instead of fast food, it's enjoying food. And so it's a similar thing with medicine as well. So I do want to add that I think things have changed over the last few years that medical associations like our doctors of BC are working to help support trainees transition into clinical practice and looking at how to understand what it takes to be a business owner, for example, and what have you. So I think that that's been recognized, and I'm glad that these kind of resources are now available.
Along with that multitude of resources that you've mentioned and on your journey, Daisy, what was it that first piqued your interest in quality and quality improvement? And with that, and how and where did you start learning about improvement science?
I think going along with the challenges that I experienced with clinical practice, I started feeling like frustrated, and that there was all these problems that were propping up, and feeling like I didn't have. It was very easy to complain about and become more cynical, and I didn't want to do that. And I think that, and I felt like I was becoming burnt out because it was just focusing on the negatives. And then I heard about quality improvement training, and the first one was the BC Patient Safety and Quality Council, and now they're called Health Quality BC. They had a clinician quality academy, and so I was part of their first cohort. Which allowed me to develop my foundations for QI, and then further enhanced it as being part of the cohort two physician advisor for PQI at Island Health. And with that, it has given me the tools to be able to look at a problem differently and allow me to not just complain about it, but actually do something about it, and being able to feel their a sense of agency to be able to identify a problem, but not necessarily jump to a solution, but also bringing in the key partners that might be affected by the problem to work together to test, what could work and what couldn't. And again, all that has allowed me to expand my ability for systems thinking, but also created joy because it was something that I was looking forward to. It was something that has kept me going in medicine, to be honest.
Beautiful. What a journey, right? And how did that lead into your involvement with the Doctors of BC and their Physician Quality Improvement Program?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I originally was part of the PQI program as a cohort and physician advisor, and did that for a year and a half. And I really enjoyed that, and it allowed me to see all the different challenges that my colleagues were facing. And it really, I wanted to become more like a generalist. And so that that led me to connect with Doctors of BC and further look into what other options there were. And I was given the opportunity to work on what would SPREAD look like for projects that are grassroots level, and how could they go from one site to multiple sites. And it was just a great opportunity to further expand my knowledge and understanding of QI. I feel like it's an ongoing learning. I don't feel like I'm an expert by no means. And I think it's always humbling each time I undertake a QI project. So I'm just grateful for the opportunities that Doctors of BC have provided around PQI and other funded resources like physician leadership, as well as funding opportunities to do QI work.
So you've led a number of QI projects, and you've already told us about, a little bit about the benefits that you personally receive from that sense of purpose, that joy in being able to look at problems and work towards fixing those. And it sounds like it's had a bit of a change in your own career perspectives and priorities, but has it also had a knock-on effect in how you actually practice your clinical work in terms of your cardiology and the care you provide to your patients?
Yeah, I love this question. I want to, one of the things that I say to people who are, wanting to know more about what quality improvement is about, and I tell them it's actually an anecdote to burnout. And it really, as I mentioned earlier, it's easy for us in our current environment to be so cynical. And what QI has allowed me to do is, transform that negative energy into more, something more constructive, and not feeling stuck or overwhelmed, but able to channel that energy into motivation for change. The thing that I realize is we can't fix everything, but there are opportunities for meaningful changes, however small they may be. And that's been the game changer in the work that I do. It's given me sense of joy in the work, as well as just enjoy collaborating with my colleagues. When I look at how it shaped my cardiology work, it allows me to look at people not as a disease organ, which we are so, when we're in specialty, we just focus on the organ. But when we take a step back, it allows us to see the whole person. And I think QI with the systems thinking allows me to actually look at it from a broader perspective than just the heart itself.
That's awesome. That's an awesome perspective. And it really sounds like it has just informed every part of you and your career and your work on a day-to-day basis, which is great.
Now, you've also more recently started an outreach cardiology practice with the Carrier, Sicani, and First Nations communities in Northern British Columbia. What was your motivation for this, and how does this fit in with your priorities?
It was a chance meeting with Dr. John Polovich, who's the medical director of CARES Sicani Family Services. And I was looking to do something different than I had been doing before. And what excited me was the chance to be in a truly multidisciplinary team with one EMR. And I have to say that is how healthcare should be, where we have one chart for one patient and being able to connect seamlessly without faxes to provide more coordinated care. And I am grateful to not only Dr. Polovich, but I'm also grateful for the colleagues that are part of CSFS. I'm also very grateful for the CSFS team for allowing me to be invited as part of their team. And again, it's just been really an opportunity to further understand the gaps in care that exists for our Indigenous communities and how to reduce them, but in a culturally safe way. And each time I go up to the communities, I'm always humbled and always still learning how to do better in terms of cultural safe care.
Well, I think that's led right into the next question here, Daisy, is how do you find that work? You know, you spoke about being humbled and loving that more, patient, being able to really focus on the patient. But was there anything you wanted to add more about this particular recent work?
I have to say I really enjoy being able to work with my colleagues, both in the family practice world as well as nurses and allied health, again, for the betterment of our patients. The other thing that I work with is some of the NERD communities, which is Northern Interior Rural Division of Family Practice. And again, trying to leverage ways that we can improve access to care. So for example, one of the QI projects that I've been working with is improving heart failure management for patients that have that diagnosis, but working together with primary care there, along with a pharmacist to help support the titrations, as we know that the sooner we get them on their therapies, the better their outcomes could be.
And linked with that is a piece around what do you enjoy about working in Northern BC?
It's been a great opportunity. I think one of the things is that the individuals that I've been working with, they have been so open-minded and so receptive and kind to accept me for the as doing the work with them. And really, the way we've been doing this work is hybrid care, where, you know, if I'm not there in person, we can still connect with the patient and the primary care doctor or nurse practitioner and still provide good care that way. And again, the patients appreciate this as well. And I really enjoy being part of a forward-thinking, you know, organization as well as the Division of Family Practice.
That's wonderful to hear. It sounds like you get a real kick out of being involved in that work, of being part of that team. I'm sure your fellow team members absolutely love having you working with them and helping them with their practice. And it sounds like the patients also benefit greatly. So that's wonderful. Now, one of your other current roles, And you wear many hats, Daisy, is as the provincial physician lead for spreading quality improvement. And that, unfortunately, we haven't really got time to go into that today, but it would be great to hear about that work. It sounds like a great topic for maybe a future podcast episode, as would any of your QI projects, to be honest. I wonder whether you'd be willing to come back another time and talk to us perhaps about some of that spread work or some of these projects. Would you be willing to do that?
Absolutely. Spreading quality improvement is a love of mine, and I co-lead that with Dr. Leanne Martin, who's an oncologist from Fraser Health Region. And it's something that really, as I mentioned, I'm so passionate about, because I think it's moving those grassroots projects that have been successfully locally and moving them to expand across the province and trying to create that real impact for our colleagues as well as patients. And so for sure, I'd love to come back, hopefully with Leanne, to share more of what we've been up to and what difference we've made, or what difference SQI has made so far.
Well, thank you. And yeah, important work. So important work to hear about. That'd be wonderful. Well, thank you, Daisy, for coming on today. It's been a wonderful hearing your story, and we look forward to having you back with us on a future episode. But unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. The music's appearing in the background, which means we have to wrap things up. But as a token of our thanks, one of our exclusive and highly coveted Quality Calf North coffee mugs will be on its way to you shortly.
I'm looking forward to you. Oh, oops.
You're the first person who's actually responded by saying they're looking forward to getting their coffee mug. So that's wonderful.
I love coffee mugs.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed today's show, please check out the show notes and our website and subscribe to our channel. But until next time, I'm Cher Chewy.
And I'm Lee Cameron.
And you've been listening to Quality Cast North. If you enjoyed today's episode, check out our other episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts, and subscribe to our channel. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question for us about healthcare quality improvement, email us at qualitycomms@northernhealth.ca, and your question could feature on a future episode. QualityCast North is sponsored by the Physician Quality Improvement Initiative, or PQI. PQI is a flagship program of the Specialist Services Committee, a collaboration between the Provincial Ministry of Health and the Doctors of BC, with representation for the provincial health authorities. This episode was co-produced by Dr. Cher Chewy and Lee Cameron, with technical support from Levi Giles and Matt Walker of Expression North. Original music by Daniel Chewy. Further information about today's guest is available in our show notes on our website at nhpqi.ca.